Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Seems to be some movement as it relates to Alex Jones and InfoWars and the tremendous sum of money he owes the Sandy Hook families. Also, some discussion to have on the Afghan interpreter in custody, apprehended by ICE, and a couple of these issues. The only person to really talk to on it is Chris Matty from Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter, joins us here on Brian and Company. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Brian. I'm well. How you doing?
I'm good. I want to get to the book at some point, but I do want to start with this more serious stuff. I mean, what happened in a Texas courtroom last week, and just talk about the implications?
Sure. Yeah. So after the Sandy Hook families obtained their verdict a couple of years ago, Alex Jones filed for bankruptcy, both for himself and his company. And so we had to go down to the United States Bankruptcy Court in Houston to try to collect on our verdict. And there were a lot of twists and turns in that court. And eventually the bankruptcy judge threw up his hands and said, you know what, I don't want to deal with this. If you guys want to collect against Alex Jones, you can go do that in state court. So we said, okay. And so we filed a motion in state court for the appointment of a receiver. A receiver has powers to collect all of the assets, liquidate them, and distribute them to the families. And so a receiver was appointed by the court last week, and the court ordered Alex Jones to turn over all of his business assets to the receiver within 5 days of receiving the order. And so in a long and drawn-out legal process, we feel like we are finally getting to the point where the families will be able to achieve their goals. Number one, of preventing Alex Jones from causing harm at scale like he did against them. And number two, getting some measure of justice by enforcing the jury's verdict.
Now, what are they going to put InfoWars up for auction again? You know, because that process happened and then it was tossed out. So does that mean it's going to get sold?
Yeah, the receiver will decide how he wants to do that. It doesn't have to be a competitive auction. But it does have to be sold to a buyer who is approved by the creditors, that is the families. And so it will not be sold to any entity that's affiliated with Alex Jones or intends to keep InfoWars on the air in its current form.
Do you know of any bidders, or was it The Onion? Are they going to come back, or no, that's over?
Yeah, no, amazingly, The Onion is still interested, to their credit. So I think they have big plans for InfoWars. Now, I don't know kind of what the details of that may be. The receiver is going to hash all that out, but it's my understanding that The Onion wants to pursue its purchase.
So in terms of seeing something like that happen, or, you know, getting some assets, you know, whatever compensation to the families, like, what's the timetable from here now?
Oh, it could be, you know, just a matter of weeks. Because InfoWars has, some significant cash balances. And as soon as the receiver takes possession of cash, he can begin distributing it to the families. And that includes both the Connecticut families and the two families in Texas who sued Alex Jones.
And there's no more appeals. This is it.
Well, he may very well try to appeal. Famous last words. He has found different ways to delay things at times, but he's not yet filed an appeal. I don't believe he has the right to appeal the appointment of a receiver. But, you know, the families have been stoic through all of this and are endlessly patient. And so, you know, they're in it for the long haul. And that includes, you know, even after they collect InfoWars business assets, because of what Jones did, he's on the hook as long as he makes money going into the future. So, you know, none of this is going to end for him, and the families have counsel who are going to assist them collecting against any future assets he may have.
We're talking with Chris Matty from Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter here on Brian and Company. As the Afghan interpreter, when did you come on board to represent him, and just give us a sense of where we are now with this case?
Yeah, so this is the case of Zia. Zia is his first name, and he was detained when he was at an East Hartford.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
ICE office a few weeks ago, he was in the process of getting his green card. He was arrested after having provided heroic service to the United States military in Afghanistan as an interpreter for the U.S. military in Mazar-e-Sharif during 2005 to 2009, a time when the Afghan insurgency was increasing. And when he came to the United States with his wife and his five children, he had the support of high-level United States military officials, including a colonel, who stated that he had repeatedly risked his life, that he had protected American troops, that he was faithful to the United States, and including that, you know, they wouldn't hesitate to invite Zia into their home to be with their families. And so this is a gentleman who, by all rights, has earned his right to be here. It's unclear why he was arrested,
Yeah,
Brian.
That's what I was curious about. Like, yeah. I mean, if he was actually, and he's, I have some issue with people who, like, don't go to their hearings or don't follow the process, but clearly he was trying to follow the process.
Yeah, he was there to provide biometric data, the exact type of data that allows the United States government to track who is here. It's unclear why he was arrested, and this is, I think, is one of the reasons why Attorney Glenn Formica, who's a very prominent immigration lawyer and has really been doing heroic work for years, asked me to get involved, because once he was taken by ICE, there was a possibility it would not be in just normal immigration court. He was arrested and taken to Massachusetts, and we filed what's called a habeas corpus petition to ask the court to make the government state why it has him in custody. And that court agreed that it would not allow ICE to deport him without 72 hours notice to us. And so we are, you know, working as hard as we can to gain his release. We are going to be filing an amended habeas petition today, a request for discovery, to get the basis for why they think they can hold him like this. You know, the indication was that somehow they had received derogatory information about him, whatever that means. My sense is that this is just a case of bureaucratic mistakes.
Yeah.
Brought on by, you know, an immigration policy that I think we can kind of see with our own eyes is being carried out in a fairly reckless and haphazard way.
Well, you would think, and I have issues with a lot of what's gone on in immigration. We don't have time to get into that now, maybe at a later date, but you would think this is a person that the administration would want to support. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. Listen, we got less than a minute. We're talking with Chris Matty from Koskov, Koskov and Beter. And maybe because this case especially and immigration in general for you politically, I'd love to sit down and have a bigger conversation. So maybe a little bit later, maybe in the early fall, we'll get you in studio to talk about it. But the book, Morning and Evening, is it John Fossey? But I'm not going to give anything away. We got like 20 seconds. Is it for the book club? We're in the book club together. Is it top third, middle third, or lower third?
Well, it's a different one than we've done in the past. Very short, kind of a meditation on you know, I don't know, the beginning of life, the end of life. And so I'm interested to see what people think. My guess is it's probably a middle third, but also probably one that's going to spark a lot of discussion, which is really the point.
Yeah. And I found something in the book that I wonder if other people found that there's a...
What do you think? Do you think middle third?
I do. I mean, there was something inherently frustrating about it, but I also think, I think what it was
middle
trying to...
Middle third from you is a win.
Because I tend to hate everything. And it was short, though. That's a plus. But I look forward to Friday, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brian. Bye.
All right. Chris Maddie from Koskoff, Koskoff and Beat.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.